This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
All right. We only have a few segments left here, so I wanted to bring this up. Micah gave me a bunch of ideas and questions to ask. And this one occurred to me for reasons Chris will know in a moment. How does science help prove that there may have been nuclear scale events in the ancient past? And when you ask that question, Micah, I'm thinking of Dr. John Brandenburg and his discussions of a possible nuclear war or nuclear explosions on Mars.
You know, that's a really interesting subject right there. Years and years ago, I mean, like when I was still a teenager, I'm only 34 years old right now, but I mean, back in the day, we all had America Online in our homes and dial-up, you know, internet. And one of my favorite things to study were interpretive texts on the Vedas, the Hindu epics, the Ramayana, the Rig Veda, the Mahabharata, you know, some of these. I would read these interpretive texts and websites on these, and some of the interpretations of certain events as described in the Hindu epics were fascinating to me because there was this what was called the Flame of Indra or the Weapon of Indra, the Iron Thunderbolt. There are different names that have been given to it in various translations and interpretations. But what we're essentially describing is a weapon or something that – it's either a weapon or an event, okay, described in the Hindu mythology. And it describes something that falls from the heavens, and then there's a pillar of smoke that rises that's seen for miles and miles. They said that when this happened, birds fell from the sky from the resulting effect, if we don't want to just outright call it a blast. But many have insinuated, just cutting to the punchline here, many have said it sounds an awful lot like there was some sort of a nuclear weapon. Now, I'm very careful about taking these holy scripts and these ancient texts and things like this and interpreting them as being literal interpretation of actual events. Here's a great example of an instance where I think that has happened and people have just run wild with it. And although it doesn't involve an ancient nuclear event, you're going to see why this is relevant because it comes back around to ancient cataclysms and the like, which many associate with such events. Okay, Plato talked about Atlantis. Plato talked about in the documents Critias and Timaeus, he talked about this war between those who hailed from beyond the pillars of Heracles, you know. Now, it's pretty evident to me, based on some contextual clues, that the whole discussion of Atlantis by Plato, and last I checked, he was a philosopher, not a historian, the entire discussion about Atlantis was allegorical, okay, as were many of his dialogues. It was intended to be pure allegory. None of his students actually believed at the time that he was literally talking about an actual ancient lost civilization that sank beneath the waters of the Atlantic. But some of the students of Plato's students did begin to make that case, and then some of the later Greek historians of antiquity also became of the mind that they endorsed the idea of a literal Atlantis that may have existed. But again, the scholarly interpretation to this day is that it was indeed a speculative kind of a thing. It was actually not even speculative. It was purely allegorical. He was trying to tell a fantastic tale so as to make political commentary on things actually occurring in Greece at that time. Further evidence of this is the fact that, of course, in that document, the Timaeus he may have been referring to was his uncle. That was, in fact, his uncle's name. But people have taken that and have run with that. And this concept of an antediluvian world, you know, something that existed before the Great Flood, some advanced technology or civilization that once existed, is something that has been preeminent in the minds of the ancient astronaut theorists and the ancient mysteries theorists, and even people who don't endorse the ancient astronaut thing. Guys, keep in mind, I just spent the last week on a boat trying to outrun Hurricane Jose in the North Atlantic, and Eric Von Daniken was on that boat with me for part of that time.
And yeah. Rosemary.
She wasn't on this one. No, it was Nick Redfern and Von Daniken and I.
You're doing another one with Rosemary.
Yeah, Rosemary, our good friend, is going to be on the one I'm doing in November, and we can chat about that in a bit. That's the Mysteries Cruise. But, you know, the cool thing about Von Daniken is – he can sit down with me and be smoking a cigarette. He and Ramon, his assistant, and I love Ramon. He's a dear friend of mine. Those guys definitely do think aliens have something to do with this ancient mystery stuff. I don't. But when I tell them I don't, they say, that's good, that's good. We want more skeptics and more scientists who will work with us. I don't get the same reception from the skeptics, sadly, because even though you guys can tell I'm pretty skeptical about all this stuff, I mean, fundamentally to my core, and I think you two are also. but they would still consider us fringe crazies. Anyway, coming back to ancient mysteries, this idea of nuclear events, how can science help us understand this stuff better? Well, again, I see a lot of people who look at these things, these incidents that may have occurred in the ancient past, some of which we do have scientific evidence for, and guys like Brandenburg try to look at that and what may have happened off-planet, and say, see, ancient nuclear wars on those planets. I think a lot of that kind of stems from that eschatological outlook many of us had during the Cold War. Carl Sagan always talking about mutually assured self-destruction. I think that it's kind of this weird outgrowth from that where we're so concerned about what could happen to Earth that some people go so far as to say that it's already happened on other worlds, and therefore the future message to humankind is, see what happened there. We don't want it to happen here. The ancient Martian civilization destroyed themselves. We're in danger of doing the same thing, too, and it could happen any day with North Korea with the volatility that we're seeing right now. Is there really evidence of ancient nuclear events? I would say yes. Is there evidence that there were nuclear events like nuclear weapons and things used by advanced civilizations? No. We're talking about naturally occurring nuclear-scale events, probably as a result of asteroid or cometary impacts, or possibly that combined with something along the lines of a supernova flare. Some of the research, for instance, that's appeared recently that suggests this is a paper that appeared in the journal Nature that was co-authored by a couple of colleagues of mine, Dr. Albert Goodyear from University of South Carolina at Columbia. Another fellow who I have not met or spoken with yet, but my colleagues are colleagues of his, is Dr. Chris Moore, real scientists, real archaeologists, people that I respect. They were co-authors along with Alan West on this paper, which talks about a widespread platinum anomaly that has occurred in the geological strata that coincides with the Younger Dryas layer. Okay, Younger Dryas referencing essentially the little ice age that we re-entered after we were coming out of the last ice age. As we were heading into the Holocene, temperatures globally began to warm. All of a sudden, there's a huge spike in temperatures where it gets really warm really quick, and then we go back into an ice age. And some researchers speculate that there was something that caused that heat spike and then the cold trend that followed. What we certainly cannot ignore is that this platinum anomaly exists and that it coincides with that at the beginning, the onset of that Dryas. And where do we find that this has occurred in the past? Well, we see a similar rare earth element widespread in geological strata coinciding with the impact that killed the dinosaurs. So scientists are warming up to the idea more and more that in likelihood the presence of these rare earth elements actually do show that there have been cataclysms that occurred in the past. And as strange as it seems, I mean, even with that evidence, the scientific community doesn't really like the idea of the impact hypothesis.
Mike, isn't there evidence of a naturally occurring chain reaction that occurred in uranium deposits in Africa? I say Namibia just to try to make a bad joke. Okay, I seem to remember John Brandenburg in his books about, I'm not exactly sure where in Africa it occurred. Maybe I think it was a naturally occurring chain reaction of uranium. And so we did have some sort of naturally occurring I guess, radioactive event, if you will. I done all the details of how it could take place, all the science behind it, I'm not sure. But I do seem to recall that it's a fairly well-accepted kind of incidence in the historical record.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think it has anything with the K2 boundary, KT boundary, and you know, the iridium that they've discovered at the end of the Cretaceous, for instance.
Right.
But we do know that nature can undergo some sort of, radioactive chain reaction.
Absolutely. Really quickly, he's talking, I think, about the Oklo mines. This was a situation where there was a uranium deposit that was, I think, encased in a granite layer, which fed by natural water from nearby, actually presented essentially a cooling and containment facility that some have likened to a natural nuclear reactor. But now, again, that's a different thing from some sort of an extraterrestrial impact creating, you know, a boundary where we find this rare earth element like iridium, which is often reported, or platinum like the Nature article from earlier. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, the idea of a natural nuclear reactor, that's accepted science that indeed this could hypothetically in the right circumstances occur deep within the earth and maybe has occurred a few times in the past.
Once again, you will hear more of Micah Hanks on this week's episode of the After the Paracast podcast, which is officially part of the PowerCast Plus. It's a subscription version of the show. We give you this show without the network ads. We give you After the PowerCast and other stuff. To learn more about our premium package, go to plus.thepowercast.com. Once again, that's plus.thepowercast.com. Subscription prices start at just $1.49 a week. We got more to come with Micah Hanks and Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
Actual testimonials from real Numana customers.
I've tried all kinds of food storage, and Numana is by far the best.
I'm a single mom with two teenage boys and a full-time job. I don't always have time to cook a four-course meal. That's where Numana has been such a blessing. I can spend less time in the kitchen and more time on what matters most, like helping with homework.
Find out for yourself. Order online at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Numana is...
the stores I love to eat. Yum!
Thepowermall.com.
Do you trust our economy? How about our banking system? Our president has stated we are sitting on a bubble right now, and that when the Fed raises interest rates, bad things are going to happen. Well, the Fed is raising rates here and now. There has never been a better time to turn your IRA or 401k into physical gold or silver with GSI Exchange. Call 833-GSI-GOLD. GSI Exchange can make this happen fast, and it's money you control, not the big banks. 833-GSI-GOLD. Ask about our Bank Failure Survival Guide and learn how your qualified IRA transfer can get you $1,500 in free physical gold or silver delivered right to your home. GSI Exchange has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Call GSI Exchange at 833-GSI-GOLD. That's 833-474-4653. Or visit us on the web at gsi.gold.
Actual testimonials from real Numana customers.
I've tried all kinds of food storage, and Numana is by far the best.
I'm a single mom with two teenage boys and a full-time job. I don't always have time to cook a four-course meal. That's where Numana has been such a blessing. I can spend less time in the kitchen and more time on what matters most, like helping with homework.
Find out for yourself. Order online at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Numana is...
the stores I love to eat. Yum!
Thepowermall.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So the point being here is, it's far more sensational and sells more books to say that some nuclear event had to be artificially generated, to just say it's the result of natural forces at work.
There is that city in India that I know David Childress has mentioned, I think Vandana has mentioned, where there's fused sand that's been fused into glass. You have the Libyan glass fields, which may have been from an impact in the past, where you know some sort of object obviously generated incredible amounts of heat. You can find tektites around the here in Arizona, around the Meteor Crater. You can find fused material that was you know, obviously superheated by the impact. But to have something planetary, you know, that you can find evidence pretty much everywhere, obviously would be indication of a huge catastrophic event, a nuclear winter type event that 5-point-something million years ago. So, but bringing it back to the point that you were making, Micah, go ahead and continue.
Oh, yeah, and I'll add to that too, Chris. I think the Indian sites, actually in modern-day Pakistan, but once probably part of the ancient Hindu empire, we're probably talking about Harappa and Mohenjo-Daro, the city of the dead. They found some of this, you know, the actual vitrification there. Interestingly, in parts of Europe, though, we've also found the evidence of ancient hill forts where the stones were fused together very quickly through this process of vitrification, a very sudden heat source that is produced, which actually fuses suddenly and then instantaneously cools and thus preserves these stone walls where they're no longer separate stones. It's actually fused together almost concretion-like. This vitrification process, again, would have to present itself very rarely, and there would have to be something, again, where there's a sudden, massive source of heat, and then things cool relatively quickly thereafter. So evidences of things like this, as well as the what we would colloquially call the Alamogordo glass that you're talking about, you know, that's the remnant of an impact, you know, the where the sand is fused and there's natural glass formed, all these kind of things. Definitely are evidence of impacts and events that have occurred in the ancient past. The problem is I think that some people, again, they say, hey, look, therefore, the reason it's called Alamogordo glass, of course, you know, the tests with the nuclear weapons done at Alamogordo, we find it there. But that doesn't mean that where else it's appeared in the world and where else it stems from in the ancient world, that these were equally evidential of nuclear weapons that were used. I say, again, nuclear scale events, but not evidence of nuclear weapons that the ancients harnessed.
Yeah.
Well, then raises the big question here. Do you feel there were advanced beings around here a couple of thousand years ago interacting with us, or maybe the remnants again of an Atlantean civilization or something that preceded that? What's your feeling?
This is a really interesting subject because for the first half of tonight's show, we've looked at UFOs. What's the best evidence? Is there anything? Is there any evidence of extraterrestrials visiting Earth right now? I asked an astronomer the same question a while back. And he said, and he's a very skeptical guy, he said, to me, I don't see in UFO reports any evidence of extraterrestrials visiting Earth. Not in modern times. Now, he says, you got to look at the entire history of the planet Earth as we know it, the very short amount of time that humans have occupied this planet. And he said, in that incredible period preceding Earth that humans have now occupied, prior to our arrival here on this mud ball, he says there was a lot of time that passed, and before that there was a lot more time in terms of the actual history of our universe. So first we could say that in the entire history, 13.5 billion years or so of our universe, in likelihood there probably have been intelligent civilizations like us, perhaps more technologically advanced than us, that have come and perhaps also have gone. And that in the ancient past, long before humans appeared here on this planet, if we have been visited at any point, it's more likely that it has occurred in the past than it is that it is occurring today. Now, some would say that, hey, there's no distinction to be made. Yeah, aliens were here in the past. They interacted with the ancients, and the UFOs are a continuation of that today. Those are very speculative points to be made. And again, I'm pretty skeptical of them, although for all we know, that could be the reality behind it. I don't know that I would say it's completely unlikely. I would just say that we don't necessarily need that interpretation to explain the mysteries of the ancient past or the presence of apparently unidentified aircraft in our skies today. But that is one interpretation of these things. What I will say, though, is that, again, when you look at the academic aspects or the attitudes toward this, many of them would say, yeah, maybe actually the likelihood that we were visited, that this planet has been met by intelligent spacefaring civilizations and that it occurred long ago, is more likely than what might be going on today that people recognize as UFOs. Carl Sagan, before the publication of Chariots of the Gods by Eric von Daniken, had put forth what he called paleo contact, and he had been an advocate of that idea. I shouldn't name my sources right now, but I have two friends in the Fringe community, one who met and knew Sagan very well, and another who spoke with his biographer. And basically what they've told me is that Sagan privately did maintain quite an interest both in UFOs and also in the idea of paleo contact. But let's be clear, I don't think he was sitting around reading Chariots of the Gods and saying, yeah, I think, you know, Eric's right. But I think that he had had that prior to the publication of Chariots of the Gods, he had had a similar idea of paleo contact and what might have happened in the ancient past on this planet. And I think that he maintained an interest in that, which he largely kept out of the dialogue that occurred in his academic circles and his public presentations on these subjects. His biographer seems to indicate that maybe that was the case. And again, I've got a friend who's a well-known ufologist who knew Sagan, and that's probably already given away too much, who said, yeah, you know, we had very frank conversations, and he said, you know, I could never go public with it, but obviously I'm interested in this subject. So you might apply that to a lot of people, academicians, scientists, astrobiologists, you know, astronomers. There are probably a lot more people interested in these things than they actually let on. And those who are interested probably have the same questions. Was Earth visited in the ancient past? As a pure matter of likelihood, whether or not it happened, it is more likely, and I maintain that view too, it is more likely that there may have been spacefaring intelligent civilizations that came to this planet long before we ever arrived here ourselves.
The question is, if they came here, are they still here, or did they come and go? Okay, that's the primitive Earthlings. Let's go on with our business. And that raises the large question about UFOs. Is it possible we were once visited, maybe even very recently, and they're gone? Everything that we've seen since then is conventionally explained.
Well, in the case of Oannes, the fish, kind of humanoid fish-like being, I doubt that he would be able to sneak around here effectively without freaking a lot of people out, because he kind of looked like a fish.
Chris, that's such a great story. You know, again, when I was a teenager and I was really getting into all this stuff, the idea of the Oannes coming out and the way that they said that they would appear coming out of the sea at the beginning of the day, and they would come and they would teach architecture, mathematics, you know, agriculture to all the ancient people. Then at the end of the day, they would take – remember the line that always struck me, they would take no food in that season, which we might interpret to mean that when offered food, they wouldn't accept it. And then at the end of the day, they would go back into the ocean. And I imagine this bulking kind of spacesuit-like thing waddling off, almost like – do you remember the film The Fifth Element?
Right. Oh, do I remember that film?
You know, you just remember Milla Jovovich in that film. We all do.
No, I remember the opera singer. That was the freakiest part. Oh my God.
Yeah, the whole film is great. But do you remember at the beginning when the clunky spacesuits that the aliens wore when they go to the pyramids? I imagine the Hawaiians looking something like that and coming out of the ocean in the day and then going back at night. And you know,
I'll tell you what, let's go back to The Fifth Element with Gene and Chris and Micah. You're in
The Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Use discount code GCN and receive 15% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter and get your Bug Assault today.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralized neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-774-3149 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-774-3149. Again, that's 800-774-3149.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hello, this is John Burroughs, one of the witnesses to the Rendlesham UFO incident. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
All right, the fifth element. I think that's possibly one of the best science fiction films ever made, because there's one thing about it that you don't see in Star Trek and other films, that the cities, the atmosphere was very gritty and very realistic. And a lot of sci-fi films don't do that. They don't show the underbelly of a city.
Well, Blade Runner is the classic.
Yeah, it was one of the few examples.
Can't wait for the sequel.
Oh, gosh, tell me about it.
That I'll definitely be going to the big screen on that. Any Ridley Scott film, basically, is worthy of a big screen treatment, I think, at least.
Oh yeah.
And getting into the pop culture here.
Well, I've just got to say, too, we just wrapped up that Ancient Mysteries cruise, and I disembarked on Sunday morning. I had my friend Anna from Puerto Rico with me, and then Ramon Zercher and his lovely wife, Carola. And we went up to Madison Square Garden and sat there, and it was probably too early in the day to do this, but hey, when in Rome, and New York counts, too. New York has some of the most liberal alcohol laws in the country, so it was the morning. We waited until they opened. It was 11 a.m., I think, on the nose that they opened up the little market there at Madison Square, and we went in there, and I got a Guinness, baby. I survived on the Atlantic for 7 days with Hurricane Jose dancing circles around us. I deserved a Guinness at that point. So we're sitting there, but the huge, that massive screen across the street with the billboard, right, with advertisements. I mean, they have the
well, that's screen. The Penta Hotel's right there, too.
Yeah, exactly. And right there on the big billboard, they had Harrison Ford and Ryan Gosling with Blade Runner. Oh, my gosh, this film. I hope the actual film is as good as the trailers and the imagery that they're using to promote it makes it out to be, because the first Blade Runner is arguably my favorite science fiction film of all time. Maybe. That place is shared only by the fifth element. Those two, really, I think, are among my very favorites.
Yeah, and then if you want to get into social commentary, Clockwork Orange is pretty darn good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Original Star Wars, the opening shot of the Millennium Falcon being chased by the Star Cruiser. That's, I remember that really sat me back in my chair when I saw that. I just said, boy, Hollywood just, you know, ratcheted up to a new level.
And look where we are today.
Yeah, exactly. Now it looks trite and kind of quaint, you know?
Well, all the thing that's interesting, too, is they were able to make that film for just a few million dollars. And today, to do a similar film would cost $250 million. So talk about efficiency. Yeah, if you don't have the budget and you have smart people, they figure out a way.
Well, that's why Hollywood's so gun-shy, is because they have to either go over the top or try to reboot something that they know has worked in the past and just hope, you know, that it will work in the future. That's why any, you know, aspiring screenwriters and stuff, really, the place to go is cable. You know, go to Netflix, go to Amazon, go to HBO. That's where the real cool projects are now.
Yeah.
You know, that or get some Saudi prince or some Hong Kong shipping magnate to be able to go ahead and fund your project.
Hey, see, now you just got to find one of those guys to fund your UFO project out there in the San Luis Valley, huh?
Well, help me, Micah. But let's get the word out. You know, I'm ready to go. We've got this thing dialed in, man. You know, in terms of its, you know, the ideal equipment list, the ideal placement of equipment, that sort of thing. It's just a matter of, you know, having a budget. So, you know, people are hired to do things instead of, you know, having to rely on their good graces. It's almost impossible to really accomplish anything when you're doing it on the people gifting their time angle. It just doesn't work.
Doing it on the cheap, yeah. Well, you know, and I'll tell you this, too. I got just the guy. Let's call up Tom DeLonge, okay? Because with all the money that he's making off of promoting his UFO interests, if he really wants to convince people, it's evident already, based on this conversation, that hearing it from government officials who cannot be named, even if WikiLeaks helps us know who some of them are, that alone has not convinced us and probably will not for some time to come. So if he really wants to get the point across, fund the efforts of civilian UFO researchers, put that money into science. Let us prove with science that there is a physical, tangible phenomenon worthy of further study. That's the only way that you're really going to do it.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I mean, people like, for instance, I mean, we could go down the list. Dave Grohl, a huge UFO, closet UFO buff. I mean, he named his band the Foo Fighters. Hello. Justin Haywood from the Moody Blues wrote me a letter telling me how much he enjoyed the book. You know, you could go down the list. There's a bunch of people that are really interested in these subjects. And, you know, Lawrence Rockefeller, I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah.
God bless him. I feel myself blessed to be one of five people that he, you know, funded, five individuals that he funded in the field. So they're out there. But, you know, I've been hoping to get that one camera up there and at least demonstrate the viability of the idea. I mean, have something where you can say, oh, well, you want to see what we're doing here? Write this address down, you know, click on this link, you know, that sort of thing. And until I get to that point, I've been really reluctant, you know, to give some sort of, you know, huge amount of energy to a funding project, because I think it's the only way to really succeed is to have something, have success, and then, you know, piggyback further success on top of that success. So, you know, that's kind of where we want to be, I think,
which is
ideally.
Chris, that's why the classic model always involves getting an investor. So is Bob Bigelow out of the game? I mean, last I heard, that guy was still talking about it.
the single well-heeled investors, their basic attitude, and we've turned down a couple of, their attitude is, what a great idea. Sure, let me give you all this money, and then it's mine.
How can
mine.
We profit from it? Yeah, how can we profit from it, and it's mine after I give you the money, right?
Well, I have ways to monetize the thing. I just don't want to give that sort of information up, and until we can show its viability. I mean, there's ways to monetize a streaming signal, a live, real-time streaming signal, monitoring a hotspot area. There's ways to have, you know, particular sponsorship, you know, presence on the screen. There's ways. This live, you know, possible event is being brought to you by, you know, Cox Cable, you know, whatever. I mean, there's ways to monetize this thing. There really is. Yeah. And, you know, we've thought up a number of them very creatively, I might add. But I'm not going to give all that away until I have something up there to demonstrate the viability of the idea. You know, so we have to approach this thing, on a multi-level sort of approach. There's kind of no way around it, really.
Yeah, and for those who would complain and bicker and say, well, why hadn't somebody done this? Why hadn't somebody done this? Everybody call Chris O'Brien. He'll explain it to you.
Oh, boy, will I.
Yeah. And I can only feel for you, man. Cause
well, it's a catch-22. You know, yeah. you got to be able to demonstrate viability, yeah. But you can't attract money until you are able to do that. But in order to demonstrate viability, you need money. I mean, we've been able to generate, you know, we put, at this point, I think $5,000 to $7,000, I think, has been put into the project. So, I mean, it's not like we haven't had any money involved, and it's all been done on a complete, well, I guess theoretically that is, conceptually that is a shoestring. So we have at least had a shoestring to work with, but
trust me, that is a shoestring.
But that money has gone into developing the detection, record on motion, and tracking software. I mean, that's where we've spent the money, because we really needed that in order to make the thing workable. And you know, theoretically, once we get the cameras up, we need to be able to identify events and then be able to track them and record them. Because if we don't record and it's always on record, who's going to be going through the, you know, trillions of bits of data to try to identify events? We need the software to identify events so that we don't have to sit there and be going through reams and reams and reams and reams of video. It's kind of ridiculous. So, you know, it's a walk before you run thing. Valet, who we had on the show here a month ago, Jacques thinks it's a great idea, and he's pretty enthusiastic about it. And, you know, who knows? Maybe I'll get an email from somebody that said, you know, I just got – Jacques Valet mentioned that you had a project, and, you know, we'd love to find out more and see if possibly there's a way to help you out.
We can hope for miracles. We can also hope to have this break. And then we'll have one more segment with Micah Hanks and Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
North Korea openly threatens the U.S. and launches a new missile every other week. Their warhead of choice? Electromagnetic pulse. Such an event would cripple the U.S. power grid for years and leave millions in the dark. Are you ready? You can be with a Solark EMP-hardened solar generator. Solark works day in and day out to keep your essentials protected. You can have peace of mind knowing your power will be there when you most need it. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to see EMP testing. That's PortableSolarLLC.com. Energy insurance for your family.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. This discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
This is Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris, we're talking about all sorts of subjects, about the state of the UFO field, about the possibility that many key cases are not real. Is it all real, or was it just misidentification, ancient astronauts, about Chris's San Luis Valley camera project? It seems to me, Chris, that the more we look at this, you have the only project that seems to be going anywhere. We have other people who talk about these things, and it just sort of sits.
You can't really assume anything when you're talking about UFOTOG. You know, who knows what's going on behind the scenes? And, you know, Mark D'Antonio and Douglas Trumbull could be very, very close to the vest right now. They might be making amazing strides. I kind of doubt it, but, you know, with that kind of clout and you know, Trumbull's connections and, you know, his connection to deep pockets, shall we say. I mean, that's always very important. And, you know, the Lawrence Livermore, ex-Lawrence Livermore scientists and other things involved in that project, you never count them out. Leslie Keen, Mark Rodiger, UFO Data, that project, I don't think really had a snowball's chance in hell, to be honest with you. They really don't know where to go, what to do, how to do it, who to talk to. I offered my help, and they did not follow up on that. And I was more than willing to, you know, supply them with software. I mean, do everything I could to help their project actually, you know, become workable and become viable. Anything I can do in my process is totally open source to anybody else out there that wants to get involved. I am not trying to make this into some sort of proprietary thing. My ego is not involved in this. I'm not looking at this from trying to have a monopoly on UFO data collection or anything like that. I want this to snowball. We want this to be open source. We want to be able to tell people what kind of gear to get, how to set it up. Here's the software to run it. Here's the protocols that you should have set in place to come up with the most effective data gathering analysis scenario that we can come up with and help you with. You know, we're not the Pentagon. We're not the Department of Defense. We don't have, you know, invoices for $30,000 screwdrivers or whatever. But if you really want to take this whole thing to the next level and move it forward, this is how we think it should be done. You know, this has been a, well, now almost 11-year process. So, you know, we're learning by fits and starts. Oftentimes it's three steps forward, four steps back, but we are making progress, believe it or not. And once we get that signal back up and streaming, remember, we did have a camera for 6 months, and we did gather some pretty interesting data. The footage of the two-man helicopter optically turning into a silver orb and flying, shooting across the screen, was very compelling. If I had taken the two, like, seconds at the very beginning of the sequence, if I had taken that first 2 seconds out, you didn't see the helicopter, and you'd just seen the silver orb from the light, you know, refracting off the dome of the canopy, I could have touted that as the greatest daylight, you know, footage since the introduction of sourdough or something. I don't know. But that's not what we're doing. We're trying to come up with ways to not only identify and quantify and analyze real events, but we're also looking for ways to debunk ourselves and show how mundane events can fool people and create false positives, create, you know, misidentifications of events. And so I think it's really important that our effort is possibly the building block of the foundation for further efforts. We'll do everything that we can to help people take the process to the next level. You know, we're doing the best we can, and I'm really hoping that Ken, my ISP guy at AmigoNet's going to climb his tower and put that damn camera up here in the next week or two, because it's getting cold up there at 7,500 feet. So we need that camera up, and then we have our other two locations scattered out, and eager volunteers are ready, but you need the initial camera up.
You know, I wish at this point, guys, that I were Bruce Wayne, because if I were Bruce Wayne, and just for particular artistic emphasis, I'm going to say Christian Bale's Bruce Wayne, okay? I would be sitting here and go, I'd be clapping, first of all, and I'd say, that's a very imaginative and fun idea you've got there, Chris O'Brien, and that is why I'm going to fund you. Because I'm telling you, truly, I wish that there were people who saw the importance in ideas like that. And again, you know, I've been accused of, oh, you're just trying to make money by selling your books. I've always said, if I were trying to make money doing this, I wouldn't be writing books about this sort of thing. I wouldn't be studying archaeology. I wouldn't be studying ancient history. And I wouldn't be studying fringe topics like UFOs and trying to squeak by and make a living doing what I love, you know? So anybody who says, you just do this for the money, I'm sorry. There are plenty of ways to make lots of money. But, you know, at the same time, I wish, though, that I did make more money. I would love to be rich, because not because I want to roll around in my own dough, you know, and have a bunch of cash on hand. If I had that kind of cash, it would be funding bright, innovative individuals like you, Chris. I would be funding, you know, networks for podcasts like the Paracast and my own show, The Graylian Report. I would be funding research. I would be trying to get to the bottom of this using science and not just relying on he said this or she said that or somebody from Wright-Patterson Air Force Base might come meet with a politician and tell them that. We could get to the bottom of this if we could put our resources together. And again, if there were only enough money to be able to spread it around, if I had that kind of financial resource, you're damn right I'd do it.
It's not that much either. I mean, really, when you're looking at the amount of money that some people on this planet are sitting on top of, they could have three generations of offspring that couldn't possibly spend it in their lifetimes. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's definitely there. And it's people like you, Micah, that I find intriguing, because you have the ability to analyze things and analyze subjects and sort of coalesce them together and see, you know, where things stick. It's one thing to come up with a lot of data. It's another thing to be able to analyze it. And so it's a multi-level process that needs team players. This is a team effort. This whole subject is not a bunch of stovepiped individuals going out and trying to solve the mysteries of the universe. We have to do this collectively. There's just no way that one person or one effort is going to be standalone and be able to do this. We all have to work together. We all have to pull on the oar in the same freaking direction. And I've been saying that until I've been blue in the face, and I'll continue saying it.
Well, you see, Chris, if your face turns blue, we could pawn you off as an alien creature, then make enough money to fund the project.
Yeah, a blue avian.
Yeah, we could get Jaime Masson to help us promote it, too.
I was thinking here, as crazy as that is there anything too crazy for him to promote?
I'm not so sure there is.
Don't get me started on that question. Oh, boy. I could have some fun with that one.
Yeah.
Not on this show. Micah Hanks, please tell our listeners, if they want to know more of the things that you do, where do they go?
Yeah, please head over to my website, Micah Hanks, M-I-C-A-H, and Hanks like the actor Tom, MicahHanks.com. All the information about my other projects is available there, but I'm going to tell you about a couple of them, too. GraylianReport.com. That's G-R and the word alien, G-R-alien report, Graylian. People always ask me, what does that mean? I liked it. I combined a couple of words, liked grail and alien. You know, and that way, these days with the cost of web domains and online properties, it was much easier to create a word than to try and find one somebody wasn't charging $1 million for. So GraylianReport.com is my podcast. It's weekly. It's freely available. There is a subscriber thing. But, hey, if you're going to support me, consider first subscribing to the Paracast Plus. That's my personal favorite Plus Club. Yeah, you guys can always follow me on Twitter, too, at Micah Hanks. I'm one of those rare individuals on Twitter who has his own name, so I'm easy to find. At Micah Hanks on Twitter, at Micah Hanks on Instagram, and I look forward to hearing from all you guys.
You can find the Paracast on Twitter, where we're known as the Paracast, at the Paracast. Look for Gene Steinberg on Facebook and a pair of official Paracast fan clubs. We have a Paracast channel on YouTube. Check it out. And we also have the Paracast Plus, which Micah recommended and probably will turn up occasionally on an episode. To learn more about the Paracast Plus, go to plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. We give you the After the Paracast podcast. It's one of those things where you never know what's going to happen next, like last week, Paul Kimball revisiting those best evidence UFO cases and coming up with some new changed conclusions. We get the ad-free version of this show, free of the network ads, and lots more stuff coming. To learn more, go to plus, P-L-U-S, .theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com, and check for new content all the time, right, Chris, at OurStrangePlanet.com. OurStrangePlanet.com. Micah Hanks, thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
Always my pleasure, guys.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Dr. Carolyn Dean wants you to have a free chapter of her new book, The Magnesium Miracle Second Edition, and it's available at magmiracle.com. In your free chapter, Dr. Carolyn Dean explains how magnesium is essential to support the structure and function and overall health of your body. Your free chapter is your guide to learn how to support your heart, bone, metabolic, lung, and mental health with this powerful mineral. The Magnesium Miracle Second Edition is available on Amazon, but right now get a free chapter at magmiracle.com, spelled M-A-G, miracle.com.